Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch, brought to you by the Exegetical Department at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. I'm Paul Robbie, and I'll lead you through the appointed Old Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday in Lent, and that lesson is Isaiah 12. This wonderful little hymn that Isaiah composes. It follows upon the heels of Isaiah chapter 11, promising the Messianic age, when a new and greater David out of Jesse will come and will receive the sevenfold gift of the Spirit himself being the first gift, and will rule with righteousness, and it will inaugurate this age of peace when the wolf lies down with the lamb. So this wonderful messianic age that Isaiah announces, and then Isaiah 12 gives us the song that we will sing in that day. Isaiah likes to do this. He likes to write the hymnal of the future. He likes to give the songs that they will sing in that future day of salvation. Of course, in the immediate present, they have to face the Assyrians, and then they have to face the Babylonians. But in anticipation of that future day of salvation, he wants the faithful to sing it already now. And you might say, in a sense, that's what we are doing when we sing hymns. We're singing in advance the eschatological hymns of the future kingdom of God. And we're already singing those together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. So Isaiah 12 says, and it's linked with Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. And so really it's kind of a sequence. In other words, first you are saved like the prodigal son. Remember how Luke repeats that, my son was lost but now is found, was dead but now is alive, and then to the older brother, your brother was lost and now is found, was dead and now is alive, and rejoice. Well, this is the song that people who were lost and have been found, who were dead and who have been made alive, this is the song that they sing. And this is the song that they encourage others to sing as well. So, 12 verse 1. And you will say in that day, in that future day, in that day is a common expression that synchronizes the following episode with the preceding episode. So in the day, just spoken about in chapter 11, the Messianic day, in that day, at that time, you will sing. The word you, or the pronoun you, is singular. Each one of you individually will sing this. Odakah, I will praise you. I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh. Why? Because. Now, the following section is a little narrative, and here's how I take it. I think he's backtracking to the time when he was... The singer is backtracking to the time when he was in dire straits, and then God intervened and saved him. So it's really a little mini narrative here. Because you were angry with me, anah, to be angry. You were exercising your wrath against me. And then I prayed. I think you got a supply. You got to fill in the gaps when you're reading Hebrew poetry. Don't fill them in too much, but you do have to fill them in a little bit. And this next verb form is a jussive. Let your wrath turn. See, that's a jussive. Let your wrath turn that you may comfort me. This is a PAL of Nakam. Nakam in the PAL to comfort, like Isaiah 40. Nakamu, Nakamu, Ami, comfort, comfort ye my people. So this is kind of his prayer when he was under the wrath of God. When he was experiencing the alien work of God, he called upon God and said, let your wrath turn away from me. That's the prayer. When you're experiencing the wrath of God, pray that God turn away his wrath from you. that you might comfort me. Then verse 2, this is still part of his prayer, I take it. This is an expression of confidence. Behold, the God of my salvation, it might even be vocative, O God of my salvation, Eftach, I trust. Velo Efchad, and I do not fear, I am not afraid. So I trust in the God of my salvation. He is the God who comes to save me. Even though you might experience his alien work for a while, it's only momentary because he is the God of my salvation. And this word, batak, to trust, common faith word in the Old Testament. So this is the response when you experience the alien work of God. You trust in him anyway, the God of your salvation. Why do I say that I trust in him? These key clauses very often explain why the speaker said the preceding. Why do I say it? Because, Ozi, my strength, Vazimrath, and might is Yahweh. Yahweh is an intensified form of saying just Yahweh. Yah is an abbreviation. Zimrath is an old spelling of a feminine form. Normally we're used to seeing a feminine noun with a hey on the end. This has a tau. It's an old spelling of the feminine. Zimrah actually is a homonym. It could mean song, like Zamar, or it could mean strength. And it actually goes both ways, and I think intentionally so. The word strength corresponds with Oz, my might, my strength and my might. But the word song is going to be picked up later. Yahweh is our song. Notice verse 5, he uses that same root, Zamaru. So I call it a deliberate ambiguity, an intentional ambiguity. The author is playing on the two meanings of the word. The one meaning goes retrospectively, and the other meaning goes prospectively with the following. These Hebrew poets are very sophisticated literary artists, and we need to appreciate their sophisticated literary artistry and not try to be too Aristotelian precise with them. This is the problem with the modern West. We're always looking for Aristotelian precision, and that's our problem. We need to rather think more like poets. I think a good background for somebody studying Old Testament poetry would be to read a lot of poetry. instead of just reading the newspaper, learning to think about poetry. All right. For Yahweh is my strength and my song, my strength and song. And now here comes the narrative. And he has become for me salvation. Hayah plus la means to become. He has become salvation for me. So I used to be under his wrath. I cried, let your wrath turn from me that you might comfort me. I trust in you. And he became my salvation. So that's why I am praising him up in verse 1. So I praise you because of this sequence of events, because you intervened and saved me. And how do I respond with this experience of salvation? Verse 3. First of all, notice you have a shift from you singular to you plural. Whenever the Old Testament Psalms give praise, they often make it a plural. In other words, they're inviting the rest of the congregation to join them in their praise. Praise is a public event. It's not something you do all by yourself in isolation. It's done corporately, collectively, in public. You're giving God public honor and praise. And so it's a churchly act. It was an act for all of Israel to join in. So we have this shift to second person plural, verse 3. You will draw up water with sason, with joy. You will draw up water with joy. And then he tells us, we realize it's a metaphor coming up, from the springs of salvation. So he's not just saying, go and get some water from the well, although maybe that's implied. Water is always a source of refreshment. But this is water from the springs of salvation. So it kind of works on a metaphorical level. And then verse 4, and you will say in that day, notice the you there is you plural. Y'all will say in that day, or y'all will say in that day. And so now he's giving them the hymn of the future, and it's the hymn that they will all sing, Israel. Hodu. Well, we saw this same root in verse 1. I, as a singular, give thanks to you. Now he's encouraging the whole congregation. You all give thanks to Yahweh. This is from the root Yada, it's a hifil. It means to give God not only thanks with our lips, but also to offer him a todah offering. Very often that would entail a sacrificial animal at the temple. A public expression, a visible expression of thanks. Give thanks to Yahweh, Kir'u, Bishmo, call upon his name, invoke his name. Again, in public, in corporate worship, don't invoke the name of Baal, don't invoke the name of idols, invoke the name of Yahweh. Not just because he's the creator, but because he is the savior, right? This is a song in response to the gospel. Hodiu, cause to know among the nations, among the peoples. This is from the noun alila, this is a plural with a suffix, his deeds. Cause to know among the nations, among the peoples, his deeds. How do you praise Yahweh? Not just by saying, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, ad nauseam 100 times. You praise Yahweh by reciting his deeds, reciting his narrative, reciting his mighty works. In Old Testament times, that would be reciting the Exodus deliverance and how he rescued Jerusalem from Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And in the fullness of time, it is climaxed in the work of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, and how he inaugurated the Messianic Age. So we praise God precisely by narrating and extolling the gospel narrative. And I take it, I consider this kind of a litmus test for evaluating praise, corporate acts of praise. To what extent are they praising the narrative, the gospel narrative, and to what extent are they just emoting? And biblical praise praises his deeds. And not only praises them, but makes them known. So doxology is an invitation, it's an act of evangelism. Y'all, I want you all to hear about the mighty deeds of Yahweh, my God. Hazkiru, this is a hifil imperative of Zakar, to make public remembrance. Make remembrance in public. Make remembrance that Nisgav Shemo, that his name is exalted. This is a nifal of Zagav. His name has been made, has made itself high. And so it is high. His name is exalted. Yahweh's name, not Baal, not the gods of the other nations. Of course, at the time of Isaiah, people were very afraid of the Assyrians, right? And it looked like the God of Israel was kind of second rate. And this song is saying, in that day, you'll know who the real God is, and you'll praise the God whose name is Yahweh. His name is exalted. Verse 5, Zamaru, this is a PL imperative of Zamar, to sing, make music. Make music, sing to Yahweh. Why? For Asa, he has done Geuth. Geuth is a abstract, that oot ending is an abstract ending. He has done majesty. He has done majesty. He has done exaltation. Abstract for the concrete, he has done majestic things. This next word, read with the K-ray, mu-da'at. That's a hofal participle of yada. So yada in the hifil means to cause others to know, in the hafal, to cause something to be known. This is being made known in all the earth. Probably a There's an ought there. This ought to be made known in all the earth. So again, public doxology is an act of evangelism. We praise God by trying to enlarge the choir. Let this be known so that more people join the choir and join us in praising the true God. Verse 6. This is two imperatives. They are feminine singular because they're addressed to Zion. Shout and ring, O inhabitant Zion. This technically is a participle, and it's feminine singular because it's modifying Zion. In other words, Zion is the inhabitant. Very often the Old Testament personifies Zion as a she. So shout and ring out loud, O inhabitant Zion. Why? So in other words, on the one hand, I praise God. On the other hand, all nations should praise God. And then Zion, it climaxes, Zion should praise God. Why? Because great in your midst, in Zion's midst, great in Zion's midst is the Kadosh Yisrael. This is Isaiah's favorite title for Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. Yahweh on the one hand is separate, unique, holy, but that's not meant in a spatial sense, but in a qualitative sense, completely unique and a separate from sin, in his own category, not just another god on a list of gods and goddesses. He's holy, and he is the Holy One of Israel. He's Israel's God. And this Holy One of Israel is in the midst of Zion. That's where you can find him. Where do you find God there for you? You go to Zion. Where is your Zion? It's the church nearby. It's the church that preaches the gospel purely and administers the sacraments rightly. That's where you find Zion. That's where you find God in the midst of his people. So God doesn't ask us to climb the highest mountain or swim the biggest sea. He asks us to go to the place where his presence dwells for you. And that place is where the means of grace are going on purely and rightly. And that's where the Holy One of Israel has located himself. So great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is an appropriate anticipatory type of hymn. But before we get to that, we go through Lent and Good Friday first. Thank you very much. My colleague Jeff Kloa will now take you through Luke 15.